Well, let's just pause for prayer, please. We're going to... these prayers are based on Psalm 69. And Psalm 69 sort of, I think, resonates with some events that have been happening in the world. And so there's just four parts to it. And I'll just lead each part and then leave us some space for us to be able to respond in the way that we feel is right. Psalm 69, just two bits. In your great mercy, O God, answer me with your unfailing help. The first part. We pray for those who feel their life is lost in deep water and great darkness, for victims of natural disaster, for those trapped in debt or addiction. We pray for all who love and serve those in this kind of need. We pray for those who fear the deep will swallow them up, for those facing bullying or oppression, for those undergoing medical tests or treatment. We pray for those who speak out for justice and kindness. We pray for those in distress. And we pray for those whose distress leads them to feel that God's face is turned against them. For those who struggle with lack of self-worth. For those with poor mental health. We pray for all who support and encourage vulnerable people. We pray for those who need to know that you, loving God, can draw near to them. For those whose lives have just begun or whose lives have changed dramatically. For those nearing death. We pray for all those who accompany others and bring deliverance. Conclusion. Loving God, save us, lift us up, hear us, draw near to us, that our prayers may be heard and answered, and we and all your children may know your love more deeply. In Jesus' name, amen. And Catherine will now bring our reading.
Good morning. I'm reading to you Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. It's the parable of the unmerciful servant. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay the master as ordered, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all he had to be sold to repay the debt. At this, The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I cancelled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart.
Well, first of all, thank you very much. It's a delight to be able to preach here this morning. Catherine and I first came to the church in August last year after we moved to Hucknall. I'd been ministering as a United Reformed Church minister in Bulwell and Sutton and Ashfield, and two of our daughters live in Hucknall, and it seemed right that we retire here. They thought it was a brilliant idea we retire here so that we can look after our grandchildren 3 or 4 times a week. It's an absolute delight, of course. And this is the first time I've preached since I retired in August 2021. So a lot happened just after I retired, and I was ill and we moved house. And so it's great to be able to pick up again and to be here this morning. What I've decided to do is to preach on forgiveness and the importance of forgiveness this morning, because it's been absolutely brilliant to be able to lead the Alpha course and have the 9 participants and the team meet each Wednesday. And I noticed that the first 3 of the 25-minute DVDs that we watch always focus partly on forgiveness. And forgiveness from our guilt, shame, forgiveness of ourselves, forgiveness of others, acknowledging what Jesus has done for us, and that really forgiveness is a choice, but it's not an option. And I think that it really reminded me of many things, of many facets about forgiveness. I mean, some of us will be able to look back at a point in our lives and think, yeah, Jesus has forgiven me, I know that. I've been walking this Christian way a long time now. Others of us may be seeking, exploring, trying to understand what all this forgiveness, mercy, love of Jesus means to us. But wherever we are, whatever stage we're at, I think it's always good to take some time out and look at forgiveness, because it's really important, and it is worth revisiting from time to time. It's important, but it can be challenging. And there it is in the Lord's Prayer. We know that there's a version of the Lord's Prayer which is very applicable to this passage, about the servant and the debt. Forgive us our debts as we forgive others their debt. And there's this whole idea that from the first book of Genesis, we've rather squandered God's image through sin. And so God is slow to anger, he is merciful, and he does forgive us. But you know, we need to get to grips with this, I think from a personal perspective, a spiritual perspective for our own lives, but also more widely for others. So I've got five questions. And the first one is going to come up on that screen. It is. Great. When must I forgive? And there's a simple answer to this. When I have been hurt by someone else. And that is inevitable. This life is going to knock us around a bit, whether we like it or not. And we are going to be hurt. Maybe an individual, an organisation, or whatever, but we need to be able to acknowledge, when must I forgive? And there it is, that the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. And you can see there the immediately why Jesus is telling this parable. There is a debt, for us is debt of sin, which we can never repay actually, but the master here, he cancels the debt and he lets him go. And sometimes, you know, we might find it easier, maybe we don't like to admit it, you know? I might want to feel angry. I might want to feel a bit bitter or critical or aggressive because someone's done something to me. And sometimes it's almost easier to hold on to that stuff. But when must I forgive then? When somebody hurts me. And I'm going to give an example of this fella. This chap is called Cesar Malabatsi. You may not have heard of him, but Catherine and I certainly did. In the mid-70s. We were living in Zambia at the time. We moved out there in 1976. And in the mid to late 70s, this guy, Cesar Malabatsi, made a huge impression. He's South African, and he's about 73, 74 now. And he was an angry young man. You must remember in the 70s, South Africa, it was the apartheid era. And I did a little bit of work down there, and Catherine accompanied me. We had a bit of a holiday. And we went onto a beach right in the south, and it said, no blacks. You go on a bus, public transport, no blacks. And it just hit me, you know? You live and work in Zambia and you could have a black person as your boss. And that was natural, that was fine. Go to South Africa, no blacks. It was apartheid. That's a very evil system. And it sort of struck me. It never occurred to me the implication of all this until I actually went to South Africa. So Cesar Malabatsi was a young man. And I think he lived in a township, but one day he was a victim of a hit-and-run accident. The car was driven by a white person, and so he was hit, and he was quite badly injured. So he thought, you know what, I'm going to report this. So he went into a police station, and bearing in mind the times it was, he was treated extremely badly, and the guy said, well, what do I care if a dog dies? So this guy's really, you know, really hurt, really. And so he is outraged. He's been knocked over and injured by a white person driving a car and been called a dog by a policeman. So he thinks, right, I'm going to get my revenge on this. I'm going to sort this out. And he was in a gang, and so he said, right, I know how this is going to make me feel better. I'm going to torch a few white houses. So they got the jerry cans filled with petrol, and there they are one night, creeping about, you know, through the township, and they're going to do something pretty awful. And he was moving through, intent on this, and he heard a voice. And the voice said, "Caesar, repent." And he thought, "What? What was that?" No. I just ignored it, so he carried on. Voice comes again, "Caesar, repent." And eventually, he gets it. And he says to his friends, "We're calling this off. We're not doing it. God has just spoken to me." And he realized, when must I forgive? He had to forgive the person who'd driven the car, forgive the policeman who'd called him a dog, had to forgive. When must I forgive? And I will cut a long story short. You can read it in full in a brilliant book he wrote called A Flame for Justice. But Caesar Malabatsi went to his church, to his pastor, and he turned his life around because he forgave. And he became a youth leader in South Africa. He worked with Archbishop Desmond Tutu on the youth side of things. And today he's still speaking. He's an international speaker on social justice. But he could have carried on. He could have torched a few buildings. But he wouldn't have been the person he is today or had the ministry. And I think that, you know, we have to actually stop sometimes and think, you know, sometimes it's easier to hold on to a feeling like anger, but I have to forgive. When must I forgive? Sometimes, you know, that hurt. And if we hang on to stuff, you know, Liam was talking about integrity, you know, about living this out. And, you know, if somebody squeezes me, what comes out? You know, you squeeze an orange or a lemon, you know, and the juice comes out. You know, you squeeze me, what comes out? Bitterness. You know, I'm not a good witness. What comes out? So the benefits of forgiving are absolutely incredible. And we trust that if we can just start that first stage, when must I forgive you? Right, okay, I've been hurt. Let me just stop a minute. Let me just think about what's going on. Now we get to the key part of this wonderful passage. Jesus, how many times must I forgive? And here we go. I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Some Bibles say 70 times seven, but it really doesn't matter, because what Jesus is saying here, how many times must I forgive? Indefinitely, actually. Unfortunately, this is a process throughout our lives as we encounter different situations. So Peter thinks he's being clever here, I think, because I don't know why, but the Pharisees, if the Pharisees were asked, how many times must I forgive? They used to give the answer three. It was a different culture, different society, and there are different rules about these things. But three, the Pharisees used to say. So I think Peter doubled it and added one on for good luck, and obviously thought Jesus was going to praise him for this, but not a bit of it, because Jesus lays down the challenge of forgiveness. In other words, the need to forgive will be with us all our lives, and we shall need to be consistent in this so that we know the wholeness and the healing that comes from forgiveness. And that's why Jesus tells us the parable of the unmerciful servant. Jesus knows our human nature, and he presents this parable to us so that we're encouraged to forgive and to keep on doing so when necessary, so that, as I said, the troublesome emotions like bitterness, resentment, don't get a hold, in our lives, cause problems in our relationships and things like that. And brilliant song there about the blood of Jesus cleansing us from all sin, because there is a sense from God through Jesus Christ that we are being continually forgiven. God is continually forgiving, and therefore it falls on us to be continually giving, forgiving as well. The last bit on this slide is a little phrase. It is often said and wisely said, it is better to be loving than to be right. I don't know where that comes from, but I just felt that that's quite a good little quote. It was on my computer because we didn't always used to have PowerPoints and computers and things like that. And over the years, I used to have a card index system. I think most ministers work like that because you want quotes for your sermons. So I just had this card index and I wrote down any helpful quote from anywhere, whether I was in a conference or I was in a group, or I used to write down all these little quotes. And I rather liked that one in relation to forgiving, and somehow it found its way onto my computer when I threw all these cards away. This one I think we've covered in song. Why must I forgive? And as we're dealing in big numbers in this parable, I've used this. Because God has forgiven me a million times more than I shall ever have to forgive anyone else. Because the cross has done it all. The unmerciful servant in this parable has been forgiven a huge debt that he could not possibly pay. And then in the next breath, I'll get onto it later, he refuses to forgive someone else a tiny debt in comparison. So Jesus has made a once and for all sacrifice for our sins. We receive forgiveness by grace, and we therefore are bid to forgive others. And it can be hard, and as I said, it's a process. I actually find it really hard to think, really helpful, sorry, to think of forgiveness as a process. Because sometimes I'll say to myself, you know I ought to forgive, but I just can't. You know, I'm just not in that place. I just can't let this thing go. And so therefore, I have to go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, I can't forgive. Can you just give me the grace to start the process? Can you just help me take that first step on the path to forgiving? I might receive peace at that point. I might be able to move forward a bit. But I need to sometimes see forgiveness as a process. And it's always helpful, isn't it, to sometimes take the space, the time, to really look at the cross and what it cost God through his son, Jesus Christ, in order that we might be forgiven. I mean, God did lay upon Jesus the sin and guilt of all of us so that we might be released, in the words of this parable, from that debt of sin. Yeah, we owe God something we can never repay. And the Alpha Course has been really looking at that because it's so important. And well, Nicky Gumbel used this example. You may have seen it so many times, but right, this is us. This is me, this is you, and God, right? There's a lovely freedom there, lovely relationship. Sin is in the way. As I said, God knows our human nature. We do fall short sometimes, trip up sometimes, not intentionally. But actually, we've got a load of stuff in the way. And Jesus is here. Son of God, sinless one, born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit, prepared to give his life for our sake. to die for us in order that he takes our sin, he takes our guilt, he takes our shame, he takes the things that mess up our lives. And we are free. We are forgiven and free to forgive others. Free that we might know that peace and healing and reconciliation in our lives. We're going to sing this later. You chose the cross. I'm lost in wonder. I'm lost in love. I'm lost in praise forevermore. Because of Jesus' unfailing love, I am forgiven. I am restored. As I can see, C.S. Lewis, best known as Oxford professor, but best known for writing the Narnia series, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And he wrote a book called Mere Christianity, which I've read and found really helpful. But he said the interesting thing about forgiveness and what Jesus has done on our life, for our lives. And he said it's like, you get a cassette, you know, recorder. He said, it's like there's a recording of your life, and that cassette is wiped clean. It's like you put on the cassette and there's nothing there. That's the recording of your life, because it's wiped clean of your sin, of your, you know, the guilt, the stuff that messes us up. So we move on. And this is definitely part of the last part of this parable. What happens if I do not forgive? And I've expressed it like this morning because we're dealing with this parable and this guy being thrown into prison. I lock myself in the prison of my own unforgiveness. It's a bit of a clumsy phrase, but that's the one I've used. I lock myself in the prison of my own unforgiveness. And I've gone to Matthew 6. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's very much like this parable of the unforgiving servant, because he does not forgive someone a little bit, and the other servants are outraged. Go to the master, the king, whatever. And so, right, I'll throw you in prison then. And you can be tortured there. So what does that all mean? I mean, it's quite a poignant end to that story. And it's about us, really. That's why I've used that term. If we hold on to things like bitterness or anger, and we decide, you know, that, do you know what? That's it. I am not going to forgive them. That's it now. I'm not going to forgive. Or that was really awful. You know, they've stabbed me in the back. I've been betrayed. I'm not going to forgive them. We do it ourselves. We're like that servant who's in prison. You know, because we think that by doing that, I'm gonna just hold some high ground here, but it's the opposite way around. Jesus took our sins upon himself on the cross, and so I'm gonna use this term. He unlocked the prison doors that you and I might know the love and forgiveness of God, and he set us free to love and forgive others, to put relationships right, free to know healing and reconciliation, free to be peacemakers. And we need to let it go. There's a story of a little girl. She's on holiday and she's with a family in Scotland. And they're driving through the Highlands or somewhere like that. And you sometimes see it in Scotland. There was a piper at the side of the road playing the bagpipes. And so, you know, the mum and dad thought, oh, really nice. We'll stop, you know, and go and see and listen to this. And you know, they have to pause for breath a bit, don't they, when they play the pipes. So the little girl says, well, if you let it go, it might stop screaming. And I think that's what it does, unforgiveness does to that. Screams inside us. You don't hurt the person we are bitter about. We simply lose peace ourselves if we hold on to unforgiveness. I had a pleasure a good few years ago now of meeting a Christian author and speaker called Elizabeth Elliot. You may have heard that name, may not. But I was at Spring Harvest, and she was a speaker. She was doing a seminar, I think Catherine was looking after the children because we were at this Butlins thing at Skegness. But I really wanted to hear her because her first husband, Jimmy Elliot, had been killed by Alka Indians in South America. He was a missionary. And a book was written about the experience called Through Gates of Splendor. And I read that book, so I knew of Elizabeth Elliot. She married again and then was married for a third time. So she shared a story about marriage in the seminar. And she'd married an American of Swedish descent called Lars. And hadn't been long into their marriage. And he said something which deeply hurt her, which she could never have imagined he would say before they got married. And she was really taken aback, so she didn't respond. And there she is in bed, and she can't sleep. She's thinking, typical man, dirty, rotten pig, sleeping away peacefully, totally ignorant, you know, of what he's done to hurt me. And she got up out of bed and went to another room in the house and got down on her knees and said, Lord, you have to help me. Lord, you have to help me. Because I'm a Christian. I speak to people all over the world, and if I can't forgive, if I don't get this right, you know, I can't do it. So she asked the Lord to really come into her life at that moment, give her the grace. And she knew what she had to do, and she said, I forgive my husband. And she said at that point, she just felt it. The love of God just flow into her life. And that's the answer. You know, what happens if I don't forgive? Well, actually, we lock ourselves in. And we need to come to terms with it. And we need to let go. Okay, lastly, what must I do about it? Yep, there we go. Well, we need to pray and act. And importantly, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So we need to be prepared to take the initiative. We need to be able to admit our faults. Be prepared to say, you know, look, I was rude. I was angry. I was selfish. We need to be strong in the Lord to do this, and why we need to look at the cross, you know, and have our relation with Him straight. Nicky Gumbel, in one of the Alpha DVDs, says, you know, look, if you bear a grudge, it's like allowing a person to live rent-free in your head, because it's not going to go away, and it's going to stir up occasionally. So we have to be prepared to pray and act, do something about it. And the guilt, you know, we feel bad about stuff we've done, the shame, that's a bit about feeling bad about who you are. And we need to actually sometimes, yeah, forgive others, sometimes forgive ourselves. I'm not good at that. I get angry if I've said the right thing. If I've hurt someone, I think, oh gosh, how could I have done that? You know, and I get really knotted up inside and angry at myself. And I find it quite hard to let go. I mean, actually playing sport helped me with that, because I played a lot of sport in my life, and I used to find it most with tennis. I don't know if you've ever played tennis, but I started playing because my oldest son was very good. So I said to his coach one day, if I bring along a racket, can you get me going? So I start to play, and I'm not very tall, you know, and I realised that, you know, these guys would have these big booming serves. So I built my game around being able to be a good returner. And the chance would come. You know, the first serve would be out. I thought, right, got it. Here comes the second serve. And at the level I played at, I knew I'd get a racket on it. Here I go. I'm going to win this next point. I'm going to, you know, the second serve had come nice and slow, spun in, and bang, I'd dump it in the net. I used to get so mad, you know, myself, how could I do that? And I knew that if I was over here, I had 10 paces to forgive myself and get there, be right. And sometimes, you know, we have to forgive ourselves and to put things right. I've had people come to me and, you know, ask for prayer, and they said, you know what? I really need to forgive someone. I really need. I've realised I've hung on to something for years, but sadly they've died. And I used to say to them, well, I'm going to pray with you now, but God in his love and his grace and his mercy is going to just bless you. And I says, it's a private transaction now between you and God. So if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And that's so helpful, that verse, because sometimes an offer of forgiveness is not accepted. Sometimes you say to somebody, I forgive you, and say, you what? But no, as far as it depends on you, you do that. Live at peace with everyone. So I end with this. The first to apologize is the bravest. The first to forgive is the strongest. The first to forget is the happiest. So I have a prayer. And I'll read it. You can join in your head, you know, just take it in, just be able to respond. I've based it on this parable about the whole dynamic of what's gone on here. You know, when must I forgive? When I've been hurt? How often? Well, it's going to be a process indefinitely. You know, why? Because Jesus has forgiven me and set me free. And don't get locked into unforgiveness. It's going to be so helpful. So this is the prayer. Father, I thank you that you love me and accept me in Jesus Christ. Release me from all sin. Please forgive when I am not forgiving, when I'm angry and do not let go, when I know something is not right hear me. When I ask for help, fill me with your Holy Spirit, your fullness, and your love. Amen.